I don't know how many times that we have sang that. But it's the first time that I really got that in verse number 4, or stanza 4. 'Tis His love His people raises over self. Over self. Getting beyond who I am by birth and by nature, and reigning as king and priest before God. I guess our hymns are to a degree like that of the scriptures, not to the extent, but in a degree. You always, always get something new when the Lord opens. Again this morning, I would ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. If Christ has left us a pattern, then we do well and are wise to use that. I ran into an acquaintance, it's just a very casual acquaintance, a few months back, and he asked me if I knew this young preacher, or if I'd ever heard him. I said, no, I know him, but I've never heard him. And he said, if you get a chance, you ought to. He's a real ball of fire. I wonder what he's talking about. Of course, I think I know. But you better not come here looking for some excitement or where you can get enthused on the manner in which I preach. It's just not there. A fellow one time said, you ought to have been at the service Sunday night with us. So that preacher started in Genesis and went all the way to Revelation. Said it was really good. I said, what did he preach about? And he never could give me an answer. He just got caught up in the method in which that man delivered a message. And he didn't get the message, if there was one to get. I trust that through your prayers that there will be this day a message to your heart. Not to this church, to your heart, to the individual member of this assembly. May God grant it, we ask in Christ's name. After this manner, pray ye. Our Father. Sometimes that is overwhelming to me. Almost overcoming to use that phrase, Father. Wonder how in the world God could take a sinner and bring him into the relationship of a son or of a daughter. Amazing grace, dear children. Our Father, which art in heaven, I think I read to you a lot of Psalm 139 this Sunday before I left, but I want you to read with me again a few verses there. Before we read, if you limit or confine God to a specific place, you do great injustice to that infinite being. God is here, I trust. But God is everywhere that His church meets this morning. No place that you can go where God is not. So I'm not saying that we are to limit or to confine God to the one who is in heaven. Most folk live with a very limited God. I think two Sundays ago today you heard Tim speak on expectation. A very timely subject. Or out some great things from the different passages that he read. And I wonder, what expectations do we have of God? High? I doubt that. Great? I doubt that. We've limited God. And the God that's out there today rarely ever surprises anybody. Most folk got God in their little box. They bring Him to church with them. They'll take Him back home and like Dagon, they'll set Him in His place. They can find God to the written Word. He's far, far more than that is contained in these small 66 books. But most live with little, or could I say few, expectations. But not the child of God. Over time we come to learn something of His infinite being, such as He is not just our Father who is in heaven, but He is our God as we work. He is our God as we sleep. He is God when we get up and our minds a thousand miles away from spiritual things, He's still God. And the children over time, they begin to experience something of the vastness of God. And to understand that little finite mind, you can't grasp the very being of God or of that of the Lord Jesus Christ. A very humbling thing to me is the fact that Jesus Christ emptied Himself, very God, Son, can't be a Father if there was not a Son. Can't be a Son except there be a Father. And Jesus Christ was the firstborn Son. He was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. Then there in Genesis 1, when God said that there be light, there was something of the expression of the manifestation of the very light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light. So it's not talking about the light of the sun or the light of the moon. Those weren't yet created. When God said, let there be light, the very sun of His bosom was brought out. And then 4,000 years later, thereabout, He emptied Himself and took upon Him the nature of man. That He knew, which was everything, He laid aside. That He was in His essence as infinite God in all places, He laid aside. To get from one place to another, He had to walk. You and I lay down at night and the homes are comfortable. Heat. It's good. It's sufficient for us. We've got a soft pillow to lay our head on. Cover. Food in the cabinets. Refrigerator or freezer. Jesus Christ, God, very God, had no place to lay His head. One said, Lord, I'll go with you everywhere you go. I'll go with you. He said, young man, you better stop and think what you just promised. The birds of the air, they've got nests in which they live. And the foxes, they have their dens in the mountains. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place he can call home. Emptied Himself, and He grew in stature, and He grew in wisdom, and He grew spiritually in favor with God, and He grew socially in favor with man, so that in the fullness of time, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, was born of a woman, and then never used His power that He had as God to bring into existence that which would make it more comfortable for Him, that which would provide for Him. Every deed that He performed and every miracle that He performed it as the Son of Man by the faith of God. Now that's humbling yourself. That's coming down to where He'd never been before, and there was no such place, and yet He came there. And then He grew. So that when He died on the cross as the God-man, abandoned by His Father, so that one day you could say, Father. Amazing. Is it not, children? So we will not confine God to just the God in heaven. Psalm 139. I did read this before I left, didn't I? Somebody shake your head, yes. Oh, shoot, I can read it again then. Y'all just think so. I won't. Psalm 139, 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, yet there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Those old pilgrims left our motherland because of the restrictions that had been placed upon them in worship, and they crossed the Atlantic to land over here. Many of them died first winter, many not making it through the winter. Yet God was where they left, and God was where they arrived. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. A lot of folk have limited God so that they perform their deeds when nobody sees, or they perform their deeds in darkness, and they think God is so limited that he cannot see us. If the darkness hide us, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I jumped down too far. Verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the very heaven of heavens, thou art there. If I do not make it into glory, and I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Hell doesn't get you away from the presence of God. It just brings you into the presence of God uncovered, unmasked, and fully known to God, and finally fully known to self. God is in every place at all times, and there is no place where you can ascend or descend where God is not. Wayne shared with me some thoughts from 1 Kings 8 this morning he's been dealing with. 1 Kings 8. Been looking at some, but different than that he was on. 1 Kings 8, verse number 27. Solomon. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? You mean the great Creator? You mean the infinite God that is everywhere, knows all things, and space does not contain God. Space is in God. Everything is in God. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. Then Solomon's talking about building a temple, and he knows something of the vastness of God, and he asked the question, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. He knew his God was not limited. But he goes on in verse number 30, talking about if we pray toward this place, And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. Now listen, folks, he just has said, we can't build a house that contains God. And yet he said that when we pray toward this place, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Now that's the thought in Matthew 6:9. Just get that, and you've got the heart of the message today. God's in all places, but when you pray, it is to your Father who is in heaven. Not God that's in the building today. Not the God that is in all places. But when you pray, your knee is bent and your heart runs all the way to heaven. That's where God is. That's His dwelling place. Hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place. Verse 22, then hear thou in heaven. Verse 36, then hear thou in heaven. Verse 39, then hear thou in heaven. Why? It is the dwelling place of God. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself forsaken, abandoned, even there on the cross, abandoned by God. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where is Christ? Well, He's where the church meets. Where is Christ? Well, He's where His people travel. He is there with His people as they travel. But to all of them, He is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Our great High Priest is in glory. Paul would direct the church's mind and their heart to things that are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. He would direct your mind and your heart to your Father who is in heaven. To your great High Priest who sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He would direct your heart. He would direct your mind. Where there you come into an apprehension of heavenly things. Especially this. Colossians 3:1, don't turn, let me just read it. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Paul Am I to set my affections on things above? Yes. Are the things of time fleeting? Laying there last night, waiting to get asleep, and the mind just roaming over the vanity of every single thing on earth. Everything. It's almost gone. The little shiny bubble that I held as a teenager, as a young man, and I reached to grab it, and it popped. It's lost its luster, and it's lost its shine. It's lost its value. And there's nothing here. Everything we put our hands to and the goals that we strive to attain, when we attain them, we've got nothing. And so empty-handed I shall go to meet my Creator. So Paul just wants your mind to expand far above the earth, and even wants ye to center it more not in the fact that God is everywhere, but he wants you to centralize the focal point of the heart's eye. Say, if ye be risen with Christ, see, those things are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm glad, and I take comfort, traveling the highways, and sometimes the busy freeways, and wonder how under heaven it could be that there are not more accidents out there, as we say accidents. And millions on the road today, and they will arise, most will. And the children of God, we take comfort when we leave, knowing that God is with us. And we value highly that God visits and manifests himself in the local assembly. We take comfort in the fact that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. I can't go any place where God is not. I can't go any place where I do not find God to be a very present help in time of trouble. And in those hours, days when there is no sense, S-E-N-S-E, or there is no awareness of the presence of God, we cherish the thought, he will not ever, no never, leave us. And we like the writings that have been handed down to us in Scripture. Psalm 125, 2, as the mountains, and this literally is true, as the mountains were round about Israel, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Before you got in the world, God was. It's rare to see a sight of hunger and children on foreign soils and on American soils. It's rare to see those folk. I think several million for the first time in 40-something years traveled last week to Mecca to worship. I think I could have easily been born in a land whose God is a cow, whose God was one that men have made, Mohammed or Buddha. But God was here before you got here. And according to Acts 17, He determined where you'd be born. He determined the circumstances of your birth. He determined the circumstances of your life. And He did it all to bring you to a knowledge of Him, that they might seek after the Lord. So we know God's round about. Even when we don't sense that. But as I've already said, you do not pray to an omnipresent God. And I assure you that if I or any of these other fellows, if they pray and their prayer ascends, it is going to God in heaven through Christ seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we don't bend our knee to the fact that God's around us, but we pray to our Father who is in heaven. No more than you worship, except you worship God in heaven through Christ. There is no true praying. There is no worship. There is no exchange between heaven and a mortal creature till in that person's heart and in their mind, God is exalted and God is lifted up. If God's not on the throne, if God's not exalted, if God's not high, you're not praying and you're not worshiping here this morning. Maybe, no, next to the last place, Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, elders of the people in the nation that God had chosen, been their God, revealed Himself in so many ways while they come to the prophet. God said, Ezekiel, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. They put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? True praying's rare, because we're praying almost to an unknown God. True praying's rare, because the very image of God has been so distorted by lying prophets that want to line their pockets. Folk don't know. And they're not praying to an exalted Christ. They're not praying to the one that is in heaven. And scarce can they, or rare, do they dare use the word my Father, afraid of presumption. And yet some would dare to approach unto a thrice holy God and would dare let fall from their lips the word my. You better know what you're saying. Now you better know he to whom you are saying these things. They can sit there all they want, son of man, but they've got their gods. They've got their idols. Verse number 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Take heed, children. Come in here with your idol. Are you coming here with iniquity before your face? And you hear something down in your soul. It's a possibility that it's the angel of light, not God that is in heaven. Son of man, they are lying. They come to you, but all you are to them is as a lovely song. They get the same thing going to the opera. And the young man, or almost my age man, that said that young man's a ball of fire. He probably could get the same excitement. He'd go to a ball game with a big crowd. And there'd be tension, and there'd be excitement, and there'd be hope. He'd get all excited. A lot of folk are calling that same spirit the Spirit of God. Son of man, all you are is a lovely song. They've been just as well off going to some symphony or some movie. Don't let their gathering before you fool you. If God's not in heaven, children, I'm talking about in your heart. If God's not in heaven, if your Father is not in heaven, if He's not exalted, if He's not the one that's got your eye when you bend that knee. Not talking about the natural, the physical, spiritual. I'll get it right in a minute. If He is not being spoken to from your heart, and He exalted far, far above everything, oh, you're talking to an unknown God. Listen, you don't have to turn. These words spake Jesus, John 17. One, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes. Lord Jesus, are you looking? Lifted up his eyes to heaven. What's the next thing? Father. You say he was God. Sure. You say he was one equal with the Father. Sure he was. I and my Father are one. But not there. Not when he went into that closet and he lifted up his eyes, he was the Son of Man. And he, as the Son of Man, was in subjection to his Father. My Father is greater than I. Well, that's the verse Jehovah Witnesses will hammer at you, which will contradict, I and my Father are one. You got to take it in its context. He lifted up his eyes unto heaven because his Father and the Son in subjection to his Father was praying to his Father in heaven. That's who you pray to if you pray. That's where your eyes are sinned if you were sinned. That's the one you're talking to as your Father. In all places, well, yeah, but not at that specific time and that specific moment. He's in heaven. And you sit down on the pew here. Your heart has got to ascend far beyond where we are if you worship. Children, all religious teaching and training can only carry you to a height of your own devising. If all you know is what the Baptists have taught you, you're in trouble. Not because they're wrong. And in some places, in a lot of places. But you've got to be taught by God, the Holy Ghost, in your soul, crying, Abba. Now, where is your Father? He is in heaven. The Pharisee, the hypocrite, they will leave as they entered the building of worship because they had no exchange. There was no reaction between their heart and God in heaven. They will leave as they came, but they will leave worse in that they will have spread a little more whitewash over their clothing. I guess it was just that the old folk would whitewash their rocks and in a lot of cases the mud that they had used. And somewhere between my mom's house and Tim's house, there was a place in that little running water that my grandmother would send us where we'd have to get that whitewash. And she'd whitewash that chimney to get it clean. If there's no exchange between your soul and your Father in heaven, you will leave as one of those rocks that she spread that mud over. Self-confidence will be increased. Self-righteousness will be increased. Pride will be increased because you one more time have been faithful to the house of God. And God put another star. We used to get stars in Sunday school. For every Sunday we were there. God put another star on your little record. No. In heaven, close here. Really just getting started, and I leave a little. I don't know if this would be right to pick back up next Sunday with us with the Lord's Supper, but we'll see whether or not he'd have us dwell longer on this or come back later. After this manner, pray ye, our Father who is in heaven. I hope you've got just a little glimmer of light from the message. Jim, you come lead us in our closing hymn. Please, sir.